This episode of the Hip Hop Nerd is brought to you by Go Cycle, the indoor cycling and fitness studio. Are you down a ride? Check GoCycleNola.com for schedule and pricing details.
Niggas fighting over reins, niggas won't be the game, but long live the chief. For a little old thing, little boys bang bang. Long live the chief. Niggas fighting over reins, niggas won't be the game, but long live the chief. Yeah, watch pretty mama while I slay my cane. Long live the chief. Cockroaches in the ratchet. Hand-me-downs with the patches. Mama put a little money in the mattress. Taught me how to make a silver spoon out of plastic. You can either sink, swim, or be the captain. Get the last word, I'ma get the last laughing. Now they say you're dinner while you're dressing so classy. I don't want my best dressed day in a casket. You can either leave, follow, or get out the way. Make a fucking move, it will make my fucking day. Got a 100-year plan, you just think about the day. Always been about time, more than been about pay. Y'all up with me, Usain could've run with me. Chief come to find you, you don't come for me. At best, you could run a little company. Nigga, at worst, I could run the whole country. That's right, pimp game like a brothel. That's why I don't judge a nigga's hustle. I Airbnb the crib like a hostel. Summer rate cheaper, could the streets get hostile? Shot the boy, this far from a hobby boy. So no, I won't record for your homie boy. I turn the party out like a naughty toy. Then I go and hide in plain sight like a lobby boy. Yes sir, that your dinner on the banner. Riding for my niggas, getting locked up in a slammer. Elder saying everything's a nail to a hammer. And niggas can't spell, but we know our Instagrammer. Well done, better than well said. I read niggas well, a nigga well read. Really, I ain't met nobody smarter. That's why I got admitted, but I still rejected Harvard. I'm the Fresh Prince in a school where they couldn't read. Mama put me in a school with the Kennedys. When I met Bill Clinton, I was 17. But dead presidents was all my niggas need. Dining with the governor's daughter, and the father say I remind him of Obama. I'm the chief diplomat every day, and I'm black and white, Janelle Monae. They won't be the king, but long live the chief. For a little old thing, little boys bang bang. Long live the chief. Niggas fighting over reins, niggas won't be the king, but long live the chief. Now watch pretty mama while I slay my cane. Long live the chief.
What's good, my beautiful people? As always, thank you for tuning in. This is Glory Jones, aka the Hip Hop Nerd. And this week I got a little bit of education for y'all. So this episode will be entitled Black Superheroes Matter. And the reason for that being is because I've seen a lot of the reactions to the Luke Cage Netflix series, which is really good. I'll give a small review on that a little bit later, but it all in all, it's really good. I would give it maybe 7.5 to 8 out of 10. And it's amazing to me that people are like, oh, it's a, how it's such a black man, and it's a black man and a bulletproof black man in a hoodie, et cetera, et cetera. And it's crazy to me because it's like, people really do deny and misinterpret the cultural impact that certain things can, especially Marvel characters. Marvel in particular has been known for the way that they portray their characters and how they release their characters during times of political upheaval and such in order to make statements. And it's no different with their black characters, i.e. Luke Cage, which a lot of times they're doing things for profit, but a lot of other times they're doing things to make statements. A lot of them, a lot of times it's actually both, most of the time. And Luke Cage is a character who, when he was released, was the first black superhero to have his own comic book. There were maybe three others that came before him. those three were the Black Panther, who at the time was just a guest star in the Fantastic Four. He appeared in 1966 in Fantastic Four number 52, invented by Stan Lee, who I'm sure if any of you follow comics at all, you know who Stan Lee is. And he because his costume covers his entire body, you never really knew what he was like. And then a few years later, in 1969, Stan Lee created Sam Wilson, who was Captain America's sidekick, which was kind of a statement to put in perspective of Black people being a part of America. And of course, he was a sidekick character, and of course, there was a little comic relief type stuff thrown in there, being a guest and everything. But the funny part about Black Panther is it took a while after, not too long, but it took a little bit of time after he was initially debuted in his full covered suit to actually show him that he was Black and that he was a king. And to this day, Black Panther is still one of the most brilliant, wealthy, and intelligent characters that is in the Marvel Universe. He has more money than Tony Stark. He has more money than pretty much every character in the Marvel Universe otherwise, because he has a kingdom that has a resource that is the rarest metal on the planet and the most useful metal on the planet, which is vibranium, which if you've watched any of the Marvel, if you've watched Captain America Civil War or any of the Captain America movies, then you see what it's like to have this metal, because Captain America's shield is actually made out of it. And it's just, he's such a great and prominent character. There was even more recently, I want to say late 2000s, can't remember exactly when the Fantastic Four, Reed Richards, Mr. Fantastic, and Sue Richards, the Invisible Woman, decided to go on a vacation to work on their marriage, and another power couple took over the group, and that was T'Challa, the Black Panther, and Aurora Monroe, otherwise known as Storm from the X-Men. Which, it kind of makes me sad that Marvel doesn't own the rights to the X-Men currently, based on the fact that it's going to be a long time before we're able to see this couple on screen, if at all. So, yeah, that sucks a little bit, but so after the Falcon was created, who is a character that's played by Anthony Mackie, who was from New Orleans, my hometown, he plays the Falcon in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So, two years after he was created, John Stewart was created. And for those of you who are unfamiliar, John Stewart is the Black Green Lantern. The original Green Lantern was Hal Jordan, and in 1971, it was decided that the Green Lantern needed a sidekick. Well, backup, because he's actually part of an intergalactic police force and not just his own character. So they created the John Stewart Green Lantern, who was his backup and replacement. So when he's gone, John Stewart does stuff. And John Stewart actually to this day is still a very prominent character, so much so that when the DC Animated Universe, which is headed by Bruce Timm, was created, that Green Lantern was the one that they put there so that they could have more diversity. It's funny because the Justice League has always been this big group that's mostly men, usually just including Wonder Woman, with no Black members. In more recent years, like the New 52, they've added Cyborg to force some diversity and put Hal Jordan back in the group. But for that cartoon, instead of using Hal Jordan or Kyle Rayner or Guy Gardner or any number of dozens of Green Lanterns that have been created, they chose to use John Stewart, who is the Black one. So they added John Stewart, who was a Black person, and they added Hulk Girl to have an additional female character so that Wonder Woman wasn't so much of a token, which I think is fair. That's fine. So in 1972, which I'm going to get more on Luke Cage in a little while, but as of right now, I just want to, you know, introduce him to you. And I'm even going to get a little deeper into the Black Panther as well a little later in the show. In 1972, Luke Cage was created by Archie Goodwin and John Romita Sr. Now, John Romita Sr., a couple of years later, in 1974, created, was one of the creators of Wolverine with Len Wein and Roy Thomas. Len Wein also went on to create Storm a few years after that. But yeah, Len Wein, Roy Thomas, and John Romita made Wolverine. But a couple of years before that, John Romita Sr. and Archie Goodwin, excuse me, I apologize for that, and Archie Goodwin created Luke Cage. Now, the reason they created him at the time, which, like I said, Marvel was known for using current events to fuel what they're doing creatively, i.e., when they saw America doing poorly, they killed Captain America off. And another time when they saw America doing poorly, Captain America quit being Captain America and started being the Nomad, who was a man with no country and stuff like that. 9/11, they actually had the Avengers go to the World Trade Center in the comics and help with the rescue efforts. Actually, there's issues of Black Panther written by Reginald Hudlin, I believe, who was awesome, who the Black Panther, Luke Cage, and Blade team up, go to New Orleans, help victims of Hurricane Katrina, and stop a vampire threat that has appeared. Actually, her current name is Spectrum, but it was Pulsar at the time. The character's name is Monica Rambeau. She's a Black woman from New Orleans who has power to manipulate different types of light and energy. But yeah, those four Black characters came together and helped New Orleans defeat this vampire menace that had been awakened by the hurricane. And it was a really interesting story arc, but it was really fun to see those characters together, because there weren't a lot of situations before that. Like, there was one series called Truth, Red, White, and Black, where they explained that the Captain America trials were originally done on Black men in a similar fashion to the Tuskegee experiments, to test it out before they tried it on white people. And there were several Black men who had gotten the super soldier serum, the main of which was Isaiah Bradley is his name, and he was the first Captain America, and he was a Black man, and he's not really in the comics themselves, he's not really in the Captain America history. And so years later, his grandson, Elijah Bradley, is pissed. He first appeared in the Young Avengers comic book, and he's basically pissed that no one is really acknowledging who Isaiah Bradley is. And even during the whole Wedding of the Century story arc, where the Black Panther and Storm get married, they have a special appearance by Isaiah Bradley. Someone brings him in a wheelchair because the super soldier serum has done so much to his body and stuff like that. The only person it's worked perfectly in is supposed to be Steve Rogers, the Captain America character that we all know and love and all of that. But anyway, like I said, they use current events to spice up their comics, essentially. Like, when surfing first hit its big craze, Stanley created the Silver Surfer. When motorcycles and that whole situation started at its peak, they created the Ghost Rider and everything. Which is funny, because now the Ghost Rider drives a hot rod, but whatever. But at the time Luke Cage was created, that was when the Black community had such a difficult time finding positive or just any real representation in Hollywood. So that's when the Blaxploitation phase started. And if you know any history about that situation, it's really, which, I mean, most of them were like pimps or like street heroes and shit like that. But it was just cinema for Black people to see other Black people. And because those were the environments that they were used to at the time, that is what came out of it. It was pimps and stuff like that were cool, and they had a bunch of really shitty martial arts going on in the movies. But, you know, Superfly, Dolomite, Shaft, all of these things. So what they decided to do at Marvel, which is funny because all of these black characters I'm talking about were created by white men, but not that there's anything wrong with it, I'm just saying that that's an interesting irony to me. But when this happened, 1972, Archie Goodwin and John Romita Sr. were told by the higher-ups over at Marvel at the time that they wanted to take... They wanted to do this on their own. They wanted to give black people their own superhero comic book. And they wanted to have it be in the blaxploitation vein of comics. So they created Luke Cage, who, when he first came out, like I said, he's the first black superhero to star in his own comic. He looked super fucking corny, but it fit for the time with his chain belt and his big metal bracelets and his, I guess, tiara or headband, circlet, whatever the fuck you want to call it, and his huge, gaudy yellow open shirt. And he was called Power Man at the time. And it's actually really interesting because since he wasn't like really super powerful or could fly and stuff like that, he ended up being a character that just fought where he lived. And eventually he ended up becoming the Luke Cage, the hero for hire, which ends up coming along a lot better in his future and stuff like that. But I'm going to come back, do a quick music break. And when I get back, I'm going to tell you a little bit more about this character after his inception and some of the other black characters and stuff like that in Marvel's current push towards diversity. And I'm going to talk about the reaction to the Netflix series. I'll be back in a little bit. Stay tuned.
Underwater since they threw us in the boat, selling cotton, picking blues, rock and roll, railroad building, serving white America before we was dope dealing. Brick laid the birth of a nation, it's the rock. White House, black man, plantation, it's Barack. But we still can't cross the street without the cops trying to send my man as well. The whole neighborhood watch. They chained us to the auction block, but now we changing the locks. Cause even Bill O'Reilly's daughter out here drinking some rock. Now that's what I call a 21st century Fox. Well, Megyn Kelly trying to tell me Santa's white and Santa's grand murder was right. I just remember rap stars, the new rock. I pull strings like the orchestra, shut down your corporate. Nat Turner, run up in the doors to your Nordstrom with 100 niggas ready and 100,000 more for you.
I see the future Martin Luther dreamt when he was a man. I feel the love my mama fought for, see the scars on her hands. Go tell them that it ain't no looking back now, no Lord as far as I ran. So take these chains or give me death, either way we coming again.
Stripped from the family, ripped from reality, belly of the beast to the grips of the tragedy. Couldn't touch my soul, so they whipped my anatomy. I rewrote the script when they thought they had mastered me. 1, 2, 3, now I'm counting up the casualties. Mounting up the cavalry, riding with a master beat. Shotgun shells show you God when they blasphemy. Running like a wolf when they send the dogs after me. Fighting for my freedom, yes, I had the audacity. Hanging from the trees, black blood on the leaves. Jumping overboard, black bodies in the sea. I die on my feet or I live on my knees. So you know I'm not begging if I say nigga please.
I see the future Martin Luther dreamt when he was a man. I feel the love my mama fought for, see the scars on her hands. Go tell them that it ain't no looking back now, no Lord as far as I ran. So take these chains or give me death, either way we coming again.
Go tell them.
Go tell them, 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 go t way, man. I can't even describe it, man. The situation was crazy, bruh. If I was a gorilla, I would say it was bananas, B. For real, the man just, he just took over the whole situation, God. Listen, man, it is what it is. Can't understand a man if you ain't live what he lived. Roaches in the crib and got no food up in the fridge. Plus the crime running rampant and it's screwing up the kids. Swear, man, what kind of paradise is this? I just want my 40 acres and some cash on the wrist. But these snakes is trying to gather in the pit. Where you get the cotton now, plucking ashes off the clip. Off the rip, now a challenger exists. Any bulletproof shoot, what kind of caliber is this? Got thugs in the store with the barrel on your lips. Saying nifty out the jaw before you pound you with the grip, Lord. Who the call when no one obeys the law? And there ain't no Iron Man that can come and save us all. Power to the people and Luke Cage the cause. And the cops got it wrong, we don't think Cage involved. Look, dawg, a hero never had one. Already took Malcolm and Martin, this is the last one. I beg your pardon, somebody pulling a fast one. Now we got a hero for hire and he a black one. And bullet hole hoodies is the fashion. We in Harlem's paradise, delicate done. That I'm about to trade the mic for a magnum. Give up my life for Trayvon to have one. Yeah, cause this is bulletproof love. And you already know what a bulletproof does. So you can take it from a bulletproof thug. The hood got his back, dawg, bulletproof love. Blood thicker than mud. And who am I to judge if you get a gun in the club? Cause you already know what a bulletproof does. When the hood got your back, dog, bulletproof love. Yeah, shout out to Pop, R.I.P. my brother. The streets is crazy nowadays. People say we don't need another hero, but now we got one. Whether you like it or not, Luke Cage, please believe it, sir. The streets got your back. You already bulletproof love, baby.
Covers for 100 bad men, 100 black grapes so I can lay they ass in. I need 100 black preachers with a black sermon to tell from 100 black Bibles. Why we send them all to hell? I need 100 black coffins. Black coffins. Black coffins. Black coffins. Oh, I need 100 black coffins. I seen 100 niggas die. I put that on my life. Lord, I wouldn't tell a lie unless it had to do with mine. In the middle of the night, killers coming for your life. All he wanna do is shine. I broke off the chains, only the realest remain. See you praying to Jesus, but will that help ease the pain? Seen a brother get slain for a jar full of change. Yet I post on the block, look like I'm Big Daddy Kane. Is you a cat or a mouse? Keep them rats out the house. A lot of scars on my back, nigga. Tattoos all around. 100 dead bitches, 100 black coffins. Money on his head, bitch, I'm trying to make a fortune. I need 100 black coffins for 100 bad men. 100 black grapes so I can lay they ass in. I need 100 black preachers with a black sermon to tell from 100 black Bibles. Why we send them all to hell? I need 100 black coffins. Black coffins. Black coffins. I need 100 black coffins. Black coffins. Oh Lord. Black coffins. I need 100. I seen 100 women burn as they stood firm. Treat a nigga like a germ. What did she do to deserve? Put me on a farm, pig's feet in a jar. Serve it to me warm. Any questions, they hang them. Better pray for Django. Got me working in fields. Too many years, it get fatal. All I want is my woman. Such a wonderful mother. On the days that it rained, her smile bright like the summer. My revenge is the sweetest. Bitch, cause I'm coming. Gotta die in my arms for what you did to my mother. 100 dead bitches, 100 black coffins, 12 gauge shotgun, chest full of copper. I need 100 black coffins for 100 bad men, 100 black grapes so I can lay they ass in. I need 100 black preachers with a black sermon to tell from 100 black Bibles. Why we send them all to hell? I need 100 black coffins. Black coffins. black coffin. Black coffins. I need 100 black coffins. Black coffins.
All right, so I'm back. So when Luke Cage created it, he was a hero in Harlem, which for a very kind of weird reason was the, I mean, most of Marvel's superheroes are based out of some part of New York, and Falcon was also from Harlem at the time, which Falcon was more of a result of the disco era. He had the big gaudy costume with the open chest and his arms out and the big disco ball hanging in the front of his costume and everything. He was a lot more hip, where Luke Cage was a little bit more gritty, but since comic books were still a lot more lighthearted at the time, it wasn't a big deal. And all of the villains that he fought were also black people in Harlem, and they were really large caricatures of what black people actually are and were. And like I said, it was created by white men from New York, probably not from Harlem, who this was the image of what they had of black people, but it was a very large success. And to this day, Luke Cage is a very amazing character. A few years after his inception, he joined with Iron Fist, who was a white character who was a result of the big kung fu craze at the time. And they became the heroes for hire together. Then they added, you know, Misty Knight and all of these other characters to join in, which Misty Knight, I love that character. And Simone Missick, who plays her in the series Marry Me. but it's really interesting because, like I said, Marvel always uses their voice. Like currently, fast forward several years later, Luke Cage has always been more of a street level type of character, and more recently he's joined the Avengers. When they created the new Avengers in, I believe, 2003, I want to say, Luke Cage was one of the members of that team, and it brought him into the broader Marvel universe and started giving him a voice where he would say interesting things, like calling Captain America Captain Cracker and stuff like that, just because he was, you know, he was that rebellious type of figure. Even when they did the whole Civil War event, Luke Cage, of course, was on Captain America's side because he wasn't going to be with the authority side and stuff like that. He's always been rebellious, very pro-black, to where currently there's a team of Avengers, which, like I said, there was Truth, Red, White, and Black, and then a little while after, Isaiah Bradley has a son whose name is Josiah X, and he was part of a team of all people of color who, I want to say it was Josiah X, the Cold Tiger, who's like a understudy for the Black Panther. I can't remember who all else was in that team, but they fought crime in Little Mogadishu, which is apparently a very dangerous place in New York where that was mostly African. People of African descent were there. And it was a really good series. And it's just funny because they keep pointing out Isaiah Bradley's legacy in the comic books. And so now Luke Cage has a team of mostly people of color and women called the Mighty Avengers. And of course, it's him, the Falcon, Tigra, She-Hulk, and a character who I love, who's very similar to the Sentry character, who they retroactively decided was such a great character, and his name's the Blue Marvel. The Blue Marvel was one of the most powerful characters in the Marvel Universe, and they said he was a prominent character in like the 50s, But once he defeated his nemesis, his mask was damaged in the fight and people saw that he was black, so they discredited everything that he did. And so he left the spotlight until he was found again and brought back to action by Luke Cage and Namor and stuff like that. Apparently Namor has known him that entire time since he's so old and the Blue Marvel's fortress was underwater. I feel like my timeline is a little sloppy because I'm remembering things as I go. Just bear with me. So the Mighty Avengers is what's going on with Luke Cage. And like I said, at the time, it was a really... at the time he was created, he was a really strong voice and image for black people at the time, because comics were not... black people didn't have their own comics. And black characters were not... you know, they were sidekicks or comic relief or what have you. And of course, there have been several black comic book characters that have had comics and everything since, but Luke Cage was the first. And then again, after he was created, then there was Storm, then Iron Man. And what was awesome, one of my favorite things, is in 1993 there was Milestone Comics, created by Dwight McDuffie. And he created a ton of black characters, and it was basically the entire comic line was all black characters. There was, which one of whom is Icon, who was just insanely powerful, like same power level as Superman type of thing. Then he has his sidekick Rocket, and even Static Shock, who a lot of you may remember from the cartoon series. He ended up being a really popular and interesting character, which you don't hear or see too much about Icon, but the Milestone Comics became so popular that DC actually bought the imprint, and it was an imprint. And then later, during their New 52 events and all of that stuff at DC, they actually merged the Milestone Comics universe with the mainstream Marvel Comics universe. So, like, if you watch Young Justice, Icon and Rocket actually have prominent roles in that series. Young Justice, which was created by my very first guest on the show, Greg Weissman. And it's an excellent cartoon, like, excellent. So right after Static Shock and Milestone Comics kept going on, in 1997... a lot of creators from Marvel left and started Image Comics. And of course, from Image Comics came Spawn, who, of course, his face is all burned and you can't really tell, but his persona before he died and became Spawn is Al Simmons. And so farther along the line, you know, there's also, of course, Cyborg. And one of the most new and more controversial decisions of making black characters is Miles Morales, who is kind of a result of people saying that they wanted Donald Glover, aka Childish Gambino, to play Spider-Man. They said no for the movie, but then in the comics, Brian Michael Bendis, who is excellent, who has been referred to as the Stan Lee of his generation, created Miles Morales, who was half black and half Latino. And Marvel has always been leading the charge when it comes to diversity in comics. And as of right now, they have the Falcon, who I mentioned earlier, is the new Captain America, which is amazing because it's like right around the time Barack Obama came into office, they started to have this discussion, and then they made this decision that Sam Wilson, a black man, would become the new Captain America. There's an Asian Hulk, Amadeus Cho. Jane Foster, who's Thor's love interest, is the new Thor, so there's a female Thor now. Ms. Marvel, Carol Danvers, who's always been a blonde-haired, blue-eyed white woman, has been replaced by a Muslim woman named Kamala Khan. And so Marvel Comics is just really pushing diversity really, really hard. Marvel had the first gay marriage in comics. They had one of the first real gay comic book heroes, who was Northstar from X-Men, was like, him being gay was a really big issue. And it was such a huge issue that Marvel actually had to put out the comic book of him coming out. They had to put that out without it being approved by the Comics Code, which is like their second time really doing that. The first time was when they created the first handicapped superhero, who was Daredevil. And both of those characters have been huge successes in parts of the Marvel Universe ever since. And like I said, there's been gay couples and gay characters. There are two characters from the Young Avengers who are gay, Wiccan and Hulkling. But the first gay marriage, and it actually featured on a cover of X-Men, was Northstar actually marrying a black man. And it's just amazing what Marvel is doing to give this type of representation to characters in comics. And DC is not too far behind. The Earth 2 version of the Green Lantern, Alan Scott, is gay. And DC recently just released proof that Wonder Woman is actually bisexual. Yes, the main Wonder Woman that's always been in their comics is a bisexual woman, which makes a ton of sense considering the fact that her background is as a Amazonian warrior from an island with nothing but women, and the first man she ever saw was Steve Trevor when she was pretty much an adult already. Not just an adult, she was a few hundred years old actually, but I'm just loving the push towards diversity and everything going on in comics right now. Now, on to the Netflix series. Right now in America, and the creator of the Luke Cage show and Mike Coulter, who plays Luke Cage, is actually very, very adamant on making sure he mentioned that part of the series they created was due to the fact that that they needed to put it out due to what has been going on in America as far as police targeting black men. What's really, really interesting about it is that it's a black man, it's a bulletproof black man in a hoodie. Now, while that is not the sum total of the character, it is very, very powerful statement, because of course black men would love to be bulletproof in America right now. Not to sound like a jerk or anything of that nature, but it's, you know, Che Ohodare Coker, who's the showrunner, it's a very big deal. And it's a character people can look up to, and his problems come from within the black community. And it's funny because I read a review of the series recently that complained that Luke Cage's primary focus should have been like an untouchable opponent should have been the NYPD, because it's clear that the NYPD is so corrupt and all of these things. But he's a character who has always been like a street level fight what comes to him type of character. Now, they did kind of take away the heroes for hire aspect of him, which they kind of mention a lot in the show, kind of tongue-in-cheek pointing to it, but it's perfect. It works really well. He's fighting to save Harlem, and in the beginning of the show, now I'm about to hit a little bit of a spoiler alert, so if you haven't seen Luke Cage, you may want to fast forward a little bit. But they use characters from the Luke Cage comic books very prominently, and it's very, I want to say perfect, but I feel like I'm using that word too much in this episode. But Luke Cage, it's his villains are sympathetic. It just, everything works, especially for the first portion of the show. The third act of the show, it gets a little weird, having a very typical comic book feel to it, with the villain being his brother and all of these other weird things going on. And then the villain is honestly not very well acted. Diamondback is who I'm speaking of. So when he comes into the show, it's kind of weird. It's not super fun. anymore. It's like it's kind of pushing it and, you know, whatever. And I have to say that I'm very happy because they've been talking about a Luke Cage movie for a long time. And for a long time, they were saying that they wanted to put John Singleton in charge of it. And while I am all about black creators being the primary people when it comes to black film, I just did not like that decision at all, and I'm really glad they went away from it. I didn't think John Singleton would be the right hands to put this particular project in. But like I said, Eric LeRae Harvey, I don't feel as though he did a great job playing Diamondback. Even though it does give you a pretty fun comic book ending where he introduces a weapon that can actually hurt Luke Cage, and at the end he wears a suit that's made by Justin Hammer's company, which is awesome because Justin Hammer is already a big part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, having been one of the villains in Iron Man 2. But it gives you the good fist fight that Luke Cage hasn't seen in the entire show, because he's not, you know, he's so much stronger and more dangerous than everybody else that he's facing. So like I said, just having the weird, unnecessarily comic booky ending to it, because the whole show, all of the Netflix series have been very gritty and they've been comic book enough to be appreciated, but they haven't been overly comic booky, and I have very much enjoyed that about them. And this is, they kind of pushed it, and the costume that Diamondback wears at the end is really, the Hammer Tech suit looks really gaudy. Like, it's not a good look at all. So like I said, overall I'd give it a 7.5 to 8 out of 10. I would say a 7.8, to be fair. Which, and while it is one of the weaker entries, the statements that it makes and the fact that he's focusing on black problems and he's so against things like using the word nigga, also the show was a little preachy in certain parts. It pushes the message a little heavy-handedly, but it's still good, and it does establish Luke Cage as a man of high morals and who loves and appreciates his blackness. Like I said, the villains are also fairly sympathetic, particularly Black Mariah and Cottonmouth, both of whom are played to perfection. And it's also fun seeing Turk from Daredevil and Jessica Jones make an appearance here, as well as Rosario Dawson's character, Claire, the night nurse. So Luke Cage is very important to the mythos of Marvel, and it's a very strong statement. And it's really ridiculous to me, the whole, like, people talking about Oscar so white and stuff, and then you have this one series with a small white presence in it, even though it takes place in Harlem, in the roughest parts of Harlem. And for some, it's like black people are the heroes, black people are the villains. The way that it works is so, it just works so well to where you're not even thinking black on black crime. You're not thinking, oh, this black guy is an arms, which I'm glad they made the black guy more, the villain more of an arms dealer than an actual, than a drug dealer and stuff, even though he knew drug dealers and such. I really, really love the way that it worked, because the way they portray Cottonmouth is, let's get this money. I got to do what I got to do on these streets. And then the way that they portray his cousin, Black Mariah, who they just call her Mariah Dillard in the show. She's a politician who is mostly has good ideas, but she accepts dirty money to help with her initiatives and campaigning and such. Her motivations make sense. It's just so excellent until you get to Diamondback. And it just feels both forced and coincidental for him to actually be Luke Cage's half-brother, especially for Luke Cage not to realize it until later in the show when he's like, oh, well, he wasn't lying. But it is a really, really good show. I would definitely say do it. It's gotten so far to where everyone who, not only was the show so amazing and popular that it crashed Netflix, but It has almost completely replaced the phrase Netflix and chill with let's get some coffee, which is weird for me because when I go on dates, my first date is almost exclusively coffee so that I can talk and get to know the person instead of going to a movie where we can't hear each other. But anyway, I just feel that it's very offensive. Like, it's like, okay, white people, if you have a problem with this one black character being in the show, watch a different show. You have thousands to choose from. If you want to see something that has no black faces in it at all, go ahead. And I spoke with a friend earlier today, Ben Petty, Pete Johnson, the comedian, and he was saying that it's funny that a lot of times in these situations you have white people who, like, white people like to be like, you can't come to what we doing, but what you doing? Can we be a part of it? Why so many of y'all in the same place? No, but you can't come over here by us, but we want to know what you doing and have our hand in that. And I really don't like it, but I mean, of course, it's where it is. It's where we are as a society right now. And again, while I'm not opposed to anything white, like, if most of my favorite franchises and television shows and everything, particularly in media, with the exception of music, most media that I enjoy comes from the white community. Now, how much they were influenced by black people when they were doing these things, that's a whole nother conversation to have. But it bothers me that there are people out there who would dare to fix their mouths to say that the show of Luke Cage is racist just because they don't have white people in it. I would like to, if those same people, I would invite you to come to where I'm from, New Orleans East, and spend most of your days there and tell me that it's not realistic for a black person in a black neighborhood to have a minimal white presence. It's just because it's realistic. I'm not saying that I don't want white people in it. In fact, Luke Cage debuted in Jessica Jones, and in The Defenders, he's going to be surrounded by other white, by white characters. So I feel like, get over it. It's fair. It is what it is. It's the reality of the situation. People always want to talk about realism, which is funny, based on the fact that these are comic book characters, but they want such gritty realism. Even when you look at the Dark Knight trilogy, I feel like I could be wrong because I may not be remembering this properly, but with the exception of a couple of extras or just faces here and there, the only black character in the entire Dark Knight trilogy was Lucius Fox, played by Morgan Freeman. So if you want to watch a comic book adaptation that does not have black people in it or has a minimal black presence in it, you have plenty to choose from. And I don't want to talk about it anymore because I feel like it's more of that divisive speech that we deal with all the time. But black characters are important for black people. We need to see representation of our own and see that we can have these same hopes and aspirations as white children do and white people do. And shit, it's not like it's Superman was turned black. It's a black character. And one of my biggest arguments is I'm not a huge fan of characters being changed to fit other demographics. But Luke Cage started as a black character, and he is still a black character and one of the best out there. And I feel the exact same way about Black Panther. I feel like if this is the conversation that's coming from the Luke Cage project, people are going to be fucking pissed when Black Panther comes out in 2018 because it's set in Africa, in an African country that is very xenophobic and not welcoming to outsiders. So we'll see how that goes. Hashtag Black Panther so lit. But with that being said, I've rambled this entire episode. Black superheroes matter, man. Let's keep it going. We got to see more positive black images on TV. Got to hear more positive black music. See more positive black people in movies. The way the media portrays a group is generally how the public perceives that group. And it's really important. If you're just spending all of your days watching shit like The Wire or Empire or Scandal or Power, Not saying there's anything wrong with those shows. They're good shows. But when you watch them, you get the wrong idea of what the average black person is like. It makes you feel as though black people are grimy and gritty and these big, dangerous people, when that's not the case for the vast majority of black people. Most black people condemn the criminals in their environments. And that's what white people need to see. And that's why I think Luke Cage was such a great series, because it was a black man going against black villains, a black hero going against black villains and cleaning up his own community and showing that not every black person is accepting or tolerant of these behaviors done by black criminals. And it was brilliant, and I love it, and I appreciate it. Thank you, Netflix. Thank you, Marvel. Thank you, Chiyo Hadari Coker. Thank you, excuse me. Thank you, Mike Coulter. Thank you, Archie Goodwin. Thank you, John Romita Sr. We needed this. So I appreciate it. And this has been a really serious episode, but I feel like it really needed to be said and really needed to be done. So I appreciate it. Love you all. Thank y'all for tuning in, my beautiful people. And that includes everybody. Everybody of every demographic, except, you know, the ones that don't listen to me. But hopefully you'll come on board. But love everybody, every race, color, creed, shape, size, sex. So thank you for tuning in. I appreciate you. Black Superheroes Matter. Love y'all. And as always, like I like to say to everybody, be good to each other. I'm out.
if I was a ghetto superhero. I fight for the freedom of all. Politicians wouldn't be here at all. I take the burdens off the shoulders of the poor. Right. They feed the children of the ghetto with the money wasted on the war. Cause we all know that hope is lost. And freedom ain't free at all. But nobody ever wrote the call. So if you with me, put your fist in the air. And with your other hand, reach for freedom. Cause we all know that it's there. And oppression is a weapon that protects us from protection. And the ghetto is the air that gets America's erection. The mistakes are made, it's covered up like whiteout. I would go to D.C. and fucking empty out the White House. Cause we don't need a figurehead president. It's evident we're fucked if we can't pay for medicine. Ain't it enough that people living on welfare? We like the only country that ain't getting free health.
If I was a ghetto superhero, 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 if I was a ghetto superhero,
I'd be a symbol to my ghetto people. Let them all know they was my ghetto people, right? And it don't matter name or tone or skin. Power don't make other people more than them. My powers wouldn't have shit to do with strength and speed. The real power in the ghetto is the strength and need. Cause it keeps us all together like family. That's how the poor people in this country always end up living happily. And that's how we get down when we get on the block. Selling drugs ain't right, but it's all that we got. Poisoning our brothers just so we can make it for self. When we pitch our tents, we always put the stake in their health. That's why when most people make it, they can't better look back. Cause the ghetto had a little and they even took that. But the real ghetto heroes always gotta give back.
That's right.
The real ghetto heroes always gotta give back.
If I was a ghetto superhero, 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 if I was a ghetto superhero,
now take it back to the ghetto. 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 Now take it back
up in the sky. It's a bird. It's a plane.
Now take it back
up in the sky. It's a bird. It's a plane.
Now take it back
up in the sky. It's a bird. It's a plane.
Now take it back
to the game. It's a bird. It's a plane.
If I was a ghetto superhero, 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 if I was a ghetto superhero,
bird. It's a plane.
If I was a ghetto superhero,
it's a bird.
If I was a ghetto superhero,
bird, it's a plane.
If I was a